This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Bruin News with Isabella Freitas and
Natalie Garcia
and
Bridget Mitchell.
City Manager Gary Milliman is retiring. Thank you, Gary, for letting me interview you on Bruin Radio.
The students of the month for April are freshman Naomi Fernandez, sophomore Manny Zamora, junior Mickey Fulton, senior Dwayne Wayland.
Last Thursday, Knowledge Bowl went up to Gold Beach, and A-Team won first place.
Woo, go A-Team!
We had a lot of sports from, like, the 2000s, and we're like, what? No one even knows this. Why are you asking us?
There was this one question where it was just Marco.
Yeah, it was like, Marco, and then we were like, Polo. And they're like, yeah! And we're like, what kind of... Okay, it was frustrating.
It was frustrating.
It was very frustrating. And we were like, are you serious right now? Okay. Student forecasting is this week. Make sure you sign up for a class you want to take. There are some awesome classes out there.
Which class do you really want to take, Natalie?
I really want to take Miss Bryant's
Folklore and Mythology. Me too. I want to take that class too. What about you?
I want to take the public speaking class.
Nice.
Oh, you want to fight me?
Hi, this is Miss B. I teach at the high school, and I have some really cool electives next year I wanted to tell you guys about. We're teaching a creative writing class, which does all kinds of creative writing assignments. You get to pretty much do whatever your heart desires. And we do a lot of art projects, and we make the really awesome literary magazine Penny Thoughts, which will be being passed around in a couple weeks to all the students at school. I'm also teaching a folklore and mythology class, which is going to focus on all world mythologies. We're going to do some Greek, Roman, Norse, Hindu, African, Native stories, and Native American stories. And it's going to be a really awesome class. And we're going to learn about like how the hero's journey works throughout all of mythology and how folklore is really the study of all humanity ever of all time. And then we're going to have a Drama 1 and Drama 2 class. So you can take them both at different semesters if you would like. The Drama 1 class is pretty much all fun, games, excitement, and learning how to could be a good public speaker, learning how to get out of your comfort zone and become comfortable with yourself. And Drama 2 will be a little more advanced, and it's for the kids who already have some acting experience or who have gained some by taking Drama 1. And we will do a bigger production with them and learn more high-level acting techniques. So they're going to be a lot of fun. Please take all of my classes. Thank you.
Will your child be 5 years old by September 1st, 2018? Each year, our district hosts a Kindergarten Roundup event to pre-register the incoming class of kindergartners. This year, the Kindergarten Roundup will take place from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday, May 17th, in the Kalmiopsis Elementary School Gymnasium. At the Roundup, you and your student can meet our kindergarten teaching team and other important school staff. Your child will take a simple assessment with a teacher, and you can get your questions answered while you fill out the required paperwork. Parents or guardians should be sure to bring your child's immunization records and birth certificate. You can boost your child's kindergarten readiness over the summer by exposing them to the sounds of the alphabet, perhaps by singing the ABC song, and you can help them count objects up to 10 and practice rote counting up to 100. You can also have them practice writing their first name kindergarten style with an uppercase first letter and a lowercase for the rest.
These academic skills will give them a head start but are not required before they start school.
Even more importantly, you can equip your child with good social skills, playing with friends and learning the value of sharing, waiting their turn, saying please and thank you, covering their cough, blowing their noses, and putting on their own jackets and shoes will serve them well in class and is in fact more difficult to teach them than letters and numbers. If your family can't attend this year's roundup, but your child is starting school next fall, please contact the Kalmiopsis Elementary School office. The staff there will assist you through our district's online enrollment process. We look forward to seeing you at Kindergarten Roundup on May 17th.
There is an upcoming blood drive on Thursday, April 26th. You must be 16 to donate and you need a parent permission slip if you are under 17. If you are interested in donating, please see Boat, Allison, Cantrell, or John Cleespies.
Any blood drive stories?
We're all under 17.
No, wait a minute.
What one?
The one for you.
Oh!
Okay, so let's be quiet. Okay. Yeah,
blood
drive story.
There's drawing my blood.
So, my first time ever getting my blood drawn, the lady had to prick my arm almost 17 times because she couldn't find it. I wasn't dehydrated or anything. She just wasn't experienced. And so I looked like I was doing drugs or something because I just had like dots all the way down my arm. It was horrible.
Well, I can't donate blood because I'm, like, definitely under 16. So they drew my blood at the doctor one time, and they did it wrong so many times that my vein collapsed, and I had, like, a giant purple bruise on my arm. It was really rough.
We here at Bruin Radio hope to see you at the annual Pirates Festival at the Port of Brookings Harbor this year on the third weekend of August.
At the festival, you can dress up, purchase loot and booty from vendors, and enjoy the many sights and sounds that come when the pirates invade our town. You may even see KCIW's own Bruce Ellis as Captain Curry.
The entire local community, yes, that means you, listener, is invited to the first ever Student Achievement Night at Brookings Harbor High School from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on May 31st, a Thursday. The new event replaces the traditional student awards ceremony and will be an interactive night when families and community members can visit classrooms to see demonstrations and hear presentations from students what they have learned throughout the year. There will be awards, music, classroom displays, and the coffee shop will be open. Stay tuned for more information.
On April 27th, we will be participating in Glisten Save Silence, which is a movement to highlight the silencing and erasure of LGBT students. Materials will be provided the Wednesday and Thursday prior. Participating students are encouraged to remain silent throughout the day, but if it is necessary to your class to speak, then you are encouraged to do so.
This is Bruin Radio News with Isabella Freitas and
Natalie Garcia.
And we are here today with Mr. Windham.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Mr. Windham is a new teacher here at our school, and we wanted to ask some questions, and we're going to start with, what is your Checo Bar Fire story?
Okay, so my Checo Bar Fire story, I grew up on Gardner Ridge Road, which is up the north bank of the Checo River, and my parents still live up there in the house I grew up in, and they have 3 acres and a lot of animals. When the fire reached the point when it was coming further down the ridge and not kind of across Mount Emily, my family was evacuated, and I was put on, I voluntarily put myself on animal roundup duty. We have 3 cats that I had to find on the property and save. And I remember it was getting dark, and I was driving up as all of the residents were leaving the ridge, and it was very scary because the sky was totally red and dark, and it was like out of a movie. And anyway, I had to catch our cats, 2 of which did not want to go into the cat carriers, as you can imagine. But I got them safe and sound and took them away with me. That's my story. Luckily, my parents' house survived the fire and everyone was okay.
Follow-up question. Did you have any friends that were affected by the bar fire as well?
Sure, yeah. Like I said, I grew up on Gardner Ridge, so we have a lot of neighbors. We all sort of know each other. The Worldtons are kind of well-known in this community. They had an auto body store here. They lost their home. They lived quite a ways up Gardner Ridge, and unfortunately, it was caught in the middle of the fire. So that's a major bummer. But nobody was hurt.
Can you tell us more about your cats?
Well, they're not really mine. They're sort of the family cats. There's Mowgli, the best one. My sisters used to dress him up in doll clothes, and he can do whatever you want with him. He's a great cat. And then we have the Beastie Roo. She's vicious. And then we have Caputo, who's my favorite. He kind of does his own thing, but you can pick him up and squish him if you want. But we took Caputo to the vet one time, and we went to pick him up. He had some routine procedure. When we went to pick him up, he only had one ear. We said, "Where's his other ear?" And they're like, "We thought this was a feral cat." And I guess they cut one ear off of feral cats so that you can identify them from a distance and know whether or not they've been neutered or spayed. Anyway, needless to say, we were not happy, and Mr. Caputo was not happy either.
Jeez. Which vet did you take Caputo to that this happened to him?
We were at Town and Country Animal Clinic.
Is that the big one?
The big one, yeah.
They're really expensive. You can just go like a few yards and it's less expensive. I don't know why people don't just go to the other one. So can you tell us about your education background?
Sure. Well, like I said, I grew up here, so I went to school here as well. I graduated from Brookings Harbor High School in 2007. And from there, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to go to college, but I wasn't quite sure where. I started at Western Oregon University up in Monmouth, and I took some general education classes and some foreign language classes. And from there, I kind of bounced around. I lived in the Bay Area for a while and took some community college courses. So I was definitely a non-traditional student in that sense. I didn't start college and go all the way through till I was finished. I went back and forth. And ultimately, I graduated from Portland State University with a degree in Spanish language and literature in 2016. And I thought I wanted to work my way into a career in education.
Nice.
What interests you about those subjects that you wanted to pursue them?
Foreign language?
Yeah.
Well, I would say foreign language for me has always been like a secret code. When I first started at Azalea Middle School, they had a Spanish program with Shelley Shepherd. And so I started Spanish in seventh grade. And yeah, it was like a secret code. So it was fun to learn new words and phrases, and I could start to understand in like a totally different world. And, you know, from there it just grew, and I still enjoy learning new languages.
Do you speak any other languages besides English?
I think there's a common misconception that Mr. Windham is like some brilliant language genius, which I don't mind this rumor, but no, I can have basic conversation in a few languages, I guess. I was close friends with a Chinese exchange student once, and I went to Beijing to visit her. So at that time, I really was studying Mandarin, so I could speak a little Mandarin. But I only say that I speak English and Spanish because those are the two languages that I'm comfortable speaking, and I don't have to think so much.
Who were your favorite teachers when you went to school here?
Well, some of them are still here. From the top of my head, you have Miss Tuttle, Miss Soberon, and even Mr. Bueller, for different reasons. So I gotta say, it's obvious that Miss Soberon just has so much passion and enthusiasm for her subject, and it's easily inspiring. Miss Tuttle, I was really into art, and Miss Tuttle was really just motivating, and she was a great motivator for me personally when I was struggling with that teen angst. I wasn't really into science or biology, and Mr. Bueller always had this reputation, maybe he still does, of being a person with very high expectations for his students, and one of those maybe hard classes. But in retrospect, I really appreciate that he always gave clear expectations for the students. So even though material wasn't my favorite, I always knew what was going to be on the tests, and I could, you know, feel confident that I knew what was expected of me.
What did Miss Tuttle do to encourage you?
Miss Tuttle wasn't afraid to get personal with her students. I think some teachers really make that line between teacher and student. And by all means, Miss Tuttle is professional, but she really does try to find a connection with students and let them know that she really cares about how they're doing. And it makes you feel good as a student that someone's in your corner.
What was the school culture like when you were in high school?
That's an interesting question because it seems quite different now. And I'm not sure if it's because it's different now or just my memory and my age at the time. But it seems like there was a better sense of solidarity among students and teachers when I was in school. And maybe that was because when I was in school, a lot of the teachers that were here had been here for years and years and years together. And so everyone was sort of in this groove and they knew each other and how, you know, everyone taught. And now there's a lot of new faces around and it's not the same. That being said, as a teacher, I feel really supported by the administration here. There's definitely good vibes. I think it's headed in a good direction. There's a lot of optimism. So I like it. It's different, but good.
When you went to school here, did you notice more bullying or less bullying than compared to now?
Since I've been here, I don't think I've witnessed any bullying, and I don't think I've heard about any bullying. And when I was in school, I don't remember being bullied. I don't have a lot to say about bullying. Maybe I was the bully.
Rough. What classes did you take? Like your electives?
I took art. I took Spanish. I took a few different Spanish classes, whatever was offered at the time, and then an independent study. And let's see. Oh, I took industrial engineering, which now we call it something else. What do we call it now?
Well, there's digital manufacturing, which teaches the digital side, like the computer-aided drafting side. There's construction, which might be more of the building portion of it. There's metal shop.
And there's
which
wood
is
shop.
Metal manufacturing, wood
and
shop.
And construction trades.
What did you learn exactly in that class?
Right. We learned how to weld.
Oh, that was just being metal shop.
So metal shop.
With Mr. Wardwell.
Yes. What kind of volunteer work or community service are you engaged in?
At the moment, I'm in a sort of civics exercise. I was involved in port administration for a while. I had some disagreements with the politics at the port, so I'm going through the process of trying to get petitions signed to recall some of the commissioners. So, like I said, it's a good learning experience on the civic side of things. My responsibility is as a citizen and learning about government and how it all works and what our rights are and how we can participate and have our voices heard as citizens. So that's where a lot of my energy is going these days, and also starting my own business. So I don't have a lot of extra time to get out and do. I'm just so busy as it is.
So tell me about your business. What is it about?
Well, it is a city-to-city ride-sharing application. And before you say, wait, there's Uber, there's Lyft.
This is one Uber.
It's not Uber or Lyft. And I know, I don't think we have those here in Brookings yet. Anyway, Uber and Lyft are more local taxi-style driving. They're starting to venture out into other tangents of that. But there isn't really a coordinated hitchhiking platform in the U.S. right now. When I was traveling, I found one called Blah Blah Car, which is essentially the same thing. But anyway, the idea is like Airbnb for hitchhiking. So if I'm driving to Portland tomorrow and I have extra seats in my car that I want to rent, I can post my ride on my site. And then if you're looking for a ride, you can go to my site, enter your source and destination and say, oh, Mr. Windham's going to Portland tomorrow and he has an extra seat. And you can also read reviews from other people that have ridden with me to get an idea of whether you trust me or not. So it's kind of like taking the idea of hitchhiking and adding some safety features to it so you can kind of know who you're riding with. And it's called hitchpiggy.com.
How would you say how big your business has gotten?
Well, I started summer of last year and I didn't know how to write code for computer, and these sites like Squarespace or Wix that allow you to make your own website, they don't allow a person to make a completely customized site. They're great for what they are. But anyway, I outsourced and I found a team in India in New Delhi, actually, to help me write the code for the website. And so there was a lot of international collaboration getting the site up and running the way I wanted. It took about 5-6 months to get the site up and running. And now the big challenge is getting people aware of it and actually using it. About 2 months ago, I went on a road trip to Portland and I hit a lot of college campuses along the way. And I put up posters and flyers and gave people stickers. And I thought the college demographic would be perfect for this idea, this rideshare platform. And I got a few people to post rides, but I still haven't got people really into using it. So I'm sort of scratching my head at this point, wondering how can I get this off the ground?
So when you post a ride and someone accepts it, do they pay you or is it just like a free thing that they can ride along for free?
Great question. Yeah, the idea not only is to promote safe hitchhiking, but also to make a little money as a business. So the idea is that the driver posts a ride and the driver sets the price that they want to make. So let's say you're driving from here to Eugene, you want 10 bucks for a seat. And HitchPiggy adds 10% for a processing booking fee, which is what I make. So when you post your ride for $10, if I go and I look in the listings of the ride, I'll see, oh, you're going on a ride and it's $11. So I have to pay the booking fee in order to communicate with you. So if I don't book the ride and pay the fee, we can't actually communicate and set up the details for the ride.
How did you come up with the idea of HitchPiggy?
The name?
Or like the business as a whole?
Like I said, when I was traveling, I actually had to hitchhike. I guess I have a little story. When I was traveling, I was in Argentina, it got really hot, so I thought I'm going to go into the Northern Hemisphere. So I flew up to Spain and I started working my way east. When I was in Italy, I was going to cross the border into Slovenia. I was using Google Maps a lot to help navigate the world. And Google had told me that I could go from this town in Italy called Udine over to this other tiny little town and take a taxi across the border into a small Slovenian town. Well, I went to Udine, got on the bus, hour and a half later, I'm the last one on the bus. We're like an old dirt road in the mountains and the driver stops the bus. He's like, this is it. He didn't speak English, but I got the point. And I look around and there's like 3 sheep and an old barn. I'm not getting a taxi anywhere around there, but I'm looking at my paper and Google says there's a taxi there. And the driver was laughing because he understood taxi. And anyway, I wasn't going to ride back on the bus, so I got off and I really had no choice other than to stick my thumb out. And it was kind of scary because you don't know who's coming along. And it's a little risky and dangerous. And anyway, I was lucky. Someone came by, they gave me a ride and went out of their way to take me to the next town. But that sort of played into it. How can I make hitchhiking safer? And when I was traveling, I was using Airbnb a lot. So I could stay with a local, get to know how people lived, but also rely on some reviews so you weren't just flying blind.
What sorts of things do you like to do for fun in Brookings?
Well, there's a ton to do here in Brookings. First of all, it's beautiful here. I never get over the natural beauty of our area. Especially when the weather's nice. I think a lot of us like to go upriver. I spent most of my summers growing up camping on the Chetco up at Little Redwood Bar. So that's great. I like to swim. As of late, when the weather's nice, I like to go sailing. Take advantage of living on the coast and get out on the ocean. Other than that, just hang out with family and friends and have good times.
What are some of your favorite restaurants here locally?
My favorite restaurants? I've got to say Kuntai. Love that Gang Penang. And the old First Rise Bakery, the Rosemary Parmesan Bagel is my favorite. And I almost regret just saying that because now if I go and there are none left, I'll be mad. And I like to just get some coffee at the Bell and Whistle and look at the boats, watch the boardwalk. Those are my top three.
Nice.
Okay.
What do you guys like to share your favorite restaurants?
Kuntai and Pacific Sushi.
My favorite is Kuntai.
We're going on Saturday.
Okay. What do you like most about teaching?
Hmm. I think the hope that I can make a difference. And, you know, I wake up every morning with that hope. And at the end of every day, most days I still have it. But some days not. I had a student raise their hand the other day. I was really trying to be passionate and convey my enthusiasm for the lesson and try to get students excited. And a student raised their hand and said, "Mr. Windham, no offense, you have to understand, we do not care at all." And it's funny when you say it now, but it crushes your soul as a teacher. And I didn't know what to do because what do you do in that situation?
Would you say getting your students to care is one of the most roughest parts of the doing?
Definitely. It's one of the biggest challenges is getting your students to care and get them motivated.
Is this your first experience being employed as a teacher?
Yes and no. In this context, almost yes. Most of my teaching experience is online and as a substitute teacher, you know, a different class every day. So this is my first traditional classroom setting long term. Just interesting. I substitute taught in Gold Beach for a while, and it's a very different atmosphere there versus here. Here there is, I hate to say it, there is a broader sense of apathy among students. It seems when I'm in Gold Beach, maybe because it's smaller, everyone seems to know where everyone is at all times. I mean, there's not as big a population in Gold Beach. So when you're up there, it seems like everyone's more involved and they care a little more. I'm not sure why that is. Anyway, it's tough. But I like it and I keep coming back for more.
Do you prefer being a substitute or a long-term teacher?
I think I would prefer being a long-term teacher because when you're a sub, long-term or short-term, students have this idea in your head that, oh, you're just a sub. And in the case of my class this year, I'm their third sub that they've had. So it's hard. And I get it as a student. It would be easier if you started the year as a teacher and you have your own rules and you can set the precedent for the rest of the year.
What classes will you be teaching next year?
Well, I'm not sure. I would hope to be teaching a foreign language, maybe French or Spanish, or even English.
Clubs. Are you going to lead any clubs next year?
You can do it. Are you going to lead any clubs next year?
Well, I would love to. We need a Spanish club again. We need a French club. Salsa club would be great, or even a tango club.
What is something you can't start your day without?
Music in the shower.
What kind of music do you listen to?
It depends, whatever kind of mood I'm in, but I definitely try to get something that gets me moving, gets me dancing in the morning, singing into my toothbrush.
Well, thank you for coming, Mr. Windham.
Thank you for coming.
And thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
Thank you for listening to KCIW LP in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. We're a nonprofit, all-volunteer community radio now broadcasting on 100.7 FM.